The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall. Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
Let's catch up with Tony Scott from the Liverpool Echo. Morning, Scotty.
Morning, Steve. You okay?
Yeah, happy with that one?
Oh, over the moon. Over the moon. I couldn't... Listen, I was on the show, weren't I, 2 weeks ago, and I was worried. I was worried that we didn't have a left-back signed, and I was worried what we'd only had Richarlison through the door. But to have done what they've done yesterday, it takes some doing to do it on the last minute. And Everton deserve a lot of credit for what they've did over this summer. And I was probably the one that was panicking. A lot of Evertonians were as well. If you're probably to ask them, Steve, Arsenal, listen, what do Everton need this summer? You'd probably say a playmaker, a winger. They got one in Richarlison. We desperately need a left back. They got one with Luka Dinya. We probably needed a number 10 to cover Sigurdsson. They got one with Bernard. They needed a goalkeeper. They got one as well. That was the young lad from Portugal. They also needed a midfielder as well, I thought, and they got one in Andre Gomes. But the most integral part of what is going to make Everton a real force this season was the two centre-halves. They desperately needed one. They got two in Yerry Mina, and Kurt Zouma will obviously go over the line in the next hour or so. And to have kept hold of Adam Olaluchman as well, and to have sold Joe Robles, Romero Funes Mori, Wayne Rooney, Davy Klassen, Ashley Williams, Kevin Morales, that they've had one hell of a window, Everton. They really, really have.
I'm not going to pretend to know too much about the new signings, but I've heard a lot of good things, exciting things about Bernard. Very small player, but apparently a bundle, a bag full of skill.
Yeah, we had a guy on the All Together Now podcast yesterday who's a Brazilian journalist, and he's expecting big things from this lad. He really is. He says he's been round the block for a long while, considering he is 25. He's been off the radar because he's played for Shakhtar Donetsk. He played a decent role in the World Cup previously to the one we've just witnessed. And he said he was part of basically the Brazilian press and the media. He was partly to blame from that, obviously being beaten 7-1 by Germany. And he was frozen out the equation and hasn't had a look in since. He said he's seen the Premier League, he's seen Everton as a step to get back in the Confederations Cup next year. So he's looking forward to seeing how he does.
If I'm playing devil's advocate, why is it any different to the end of last season when Everton made all those signings in that transfer window? Why is this going to be an easier gel?
I knew you were going to say that, Steve. I really did. I feel as if when Lukaku was sold last season and they just didn't replace him, and they still haven't replaced him to a certain extent because Cenk Tosun came in January. But what Everton have identified in one summer is that all the problems... Now, Everton have got two right-backs this season. They've got two left-backs. They didn't have that last season. They've got now four or five centre-halves there. They haven't flooded the team with number 10. They've only got two now because David Klassen and Wayne Rooney have moved on. Bernard can play in there and so also can Sigurdsson. They've got pace and they've got width now. So there's a lot more balance to the team now, whereas in last season, it was kind of like horse trading players, and you can have a number 10, I'll have one, I'll have another player, you can have one centre-back, I'll have Ashley Williams, you can have Michael Keane. So there was no fluency in anything what they were doing. They were just basically buying players like a football manager football game.
So they didn't sign in the right positions?
They were signed in the right positions, but there was just no balance to the team. Everton went into a season with one left-back. So that's why Cuca Martino was brought in, a right-back, to play left-back for the majority of the season. So Everton were just getting targeted down that side every single week. And no wonder they were sitting halfway bottom of the league, because you just had square pegs and round holes. That Gylfi Sigurdsson playing on the left-hand side of midfield. Yeah, it was a total mess the way they were just trying to fit in new signings. There's a lot more balance to the team now. There really is. And the squad now, you're looking at it and thinking, you're going to have to shift a lot more players out, because Mo Besic, Nikola Vlasic, Janek Balassi, Sandro Ramirez and Cuca Martina all have still got 2 weeks to leave the club as well. They've all been told to move on. So it bodes well for what you're looking at towards Everton this season. It's going to take time, Steve. We're not going to kid ourselves. Everton fans are obviously optimistic again. They've got a spring in the step this morning. But what they're going to realise is that it's going to take time and patience for all these players to gel in. But there's a balance and you can see a plan. More than anything, Steve, Everton fans, they haven't seen a plan on the pitch. It's just been a bit of a mess with Allardyce and Koeman and Unsworth. Now, for the first time in many years, you can sort of see, do you know what, we're going on this long road. and it's going to be patient, I know, but it'll take time, and I'm hoping that Evertonians have got the patience to get fully behind this manager and this new regime.
It looks like a big statement at the start of a big overhaul. If you look at the top three spenders in this transfer window, Liverpool come in top, £171 million. Chelsea second, of course, courtesy of their keeper Kepa, £122 million. Then Everton third, £108 million. So Merseyside is spending the cash, Toe.
It is. It's back to Merseyside millionaires. It's back in it, like the 60s and 70s, Steve. So, listen, we're not going to kid ourselves. In this day and age, the teams that spend the huge amounts of money are the ones that finish in the top four. That's the brutal of it. I think Leicester, obviously, were the only ones to break that mold. But in this day and age, you need to spend money to get in the top four. But you've got to give Farhad Moshiri credit. What everyone says about him, he's just spent money, hand over fist. I think this is the best part of nearly £450 million he spent on players on the pitch alone. That's some going. That's not to take anything what he's done off it as well, regards to the stadium and the lands and the managers being sacked and everything else. What he's done is put money. And we thought this summer, Steve, we were told that he's going to tighten the purse strings. He's going to let Marcel Brands just bring in a couple of players and then sell the rest, balance the books. But he's totally gone against what we all thought again and spent the best part of another £100 million. So, listen, if you were to ask Evertonians a couple of years ago, was a billionaire come in and spend £450 million on players, you wouldn't have never thought in a million years. But he'll keep on doing it, Steve, and he'll keep spending money until he gets that trophy, whatever Tony's deserve.
You'd have had a laugh, wouldn't you, a few years ago if someone had said that. Maybe similarly so for Liverpool as well. I think their transfer window has been superb. Fabinho, that could be the signing for Fabinho. He looks class. Alisson, Jadon Sancho, Naby Keita, they all look good parts of the jigsaw. And straight away, I think you can see Naby Keita is going to play a massive role in the Premier League this season. Liverpool themselves, how do you rate their window?
Oh, they've had a blinding window themselves, Steve. They really have. Another club that's identified the problems and they haven't just two the square pegs in round holes again. They said, listen, we need a defensive midfielder because we desperately needed one last season, Liverpool. You can see why I think the Champions League final identified the problem when Salah went off and Lallana come on half fit and there was a couple of kids there in the squad and you could just sense that the squad just didn't have the fight to get them over the line. Now they've identified that one key area I think they are short on, Steve, and a lot of Liverpool fans who have spoke to have said the same thing with the centre-back. Now there's problems there going in towards the West Ham game this weekend. I think Matip, in a nutshell, Steve, he's made the glass. You just can't get 38 games out of a season. You're lucky if you get half of that with him. And then that just leaves Dejan Lovren, who's obviously not... He's a 7 out of 10, 6 or 7 out of 10 for me. But along Virgil van Dijk, you need someone better. I just feel as if Liverpool may have just... I thought they would have got another centre-half in, Steve. I really did. I thought that would have kicked them on even further with Manchester City only buying that one player in Riyad Mahrez. So they've closed the gap, Liverpool. Don't get me wrong. I think they've closed it dramatically. But to make that next step, I just think you need that extra bit of fight at the back. And I don't think Liverpool have got it. Virgil van Dijk's a class act. But I think Liverpool needs a bit of a monster at the back there. Someone who can get the foot in. And I just feel as if they should have got that one in. I feel as if also up front is a key area as well, with Danny Ings going as well. I thought they may have left themselves short in a striker role there because there's rumours Solanke could go to Rangers. So I just feel as if that just one or two key areas Liverpool could have tapped into to even get even closer to Manchester City.
Right, Scotty Betts TV back later today on YouTube. Are we going to start the season all guns blazing? What are you looking at, Scotty?
Well, Wolves 11-8, Everton 2-1. I fancy over 2.5 goals in this one, Steve. Everton won't have any of them new signings in the team. Maybe one or two, as expect. Luka Dinya maybe to come on at half-time. I think Leighton Baines will start. So the only one out of the signings will make his debut will be Richarlison. So I think Everton will be dodgy at the back like they were against Valencia in pre-season. So fully expect over 2.5 goals. Liverpool versus West Ham, Steve. Two bets that stick out for me like a sore thumb. Jack Wilshere to be booked on his debut, 2-1. Naby Keita, Steve, I've got a feeling I'm going to be saying this fella's name a lot during our show. Believe it or not, Steve, 11 yellow cards last season, 4 red cards in the German Bundesliga. The Premier League is more fast and furious and the intensity is a lot more quicker than the Bundesliga. Believe it or not, Steve, Paddy Power are offering 9-2 on Naby Keita to be carded.
Oof, it's all right, isn't it?
You haven't done the homework at all, Steve.
I think that one's going to come up week after week.
But I think it's one of them bets, Steve, that at the start of the season, no one will be really onto it until you get to 3 or 4 games in and he's being booked every game and then the odds shown. I remember Julian Lescott when he started his Everton career. He was 33-1 first goal scorer. He scores a load of goals early doors and before you knew it, he was 10-1. So I've got a feeling Naby Keita, 9-2 to be carded against West Ham. Listen, I'm not going to, it's not a certainty, don't get me wrong, but you've got a hell of a chance. He won't be that price in 3 or 4 weeks' time, let me tell you.
So enjoy your weekend. Thank you very much, pal.
This is Radio City Talk.